Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities are Mother Nature's recipes that bring the bare necessities of life.
Welcome to Words and Pictures, the show about the narrative arts. I'm your host, S.W. Conser, and I am delighted to be joined by the artist and writer team who've collaborated on what may be the perfect book for Valentine's Day, at least for those readers who don't mind a little bit of surrealism with their romance. Adventures in Poor Tastes calls this book a fresh romantic comedy that shirks all the tired tropes of the genre, and Booklist describes it as Alt Disney meets Jane Austen. I'm talking about the graphic novel My Boyfriend is a Bear. And we have the artist Kat Ferris in the studio today. Kat, it's great to have you here.
Oh, thank you. It's so great to be here. I'm really excited.
And on the phone from her home in Los Angeles, we have writer Pamela Ribbon. Welcome, Pam.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So, Pam, I just want to jump right into it. On the surface, My Boyfriend is a Bear seems like a fantastical story about interspecies love. But you said that it's actually fairly autobiographical.
Yes, that does sound misleading when you leave it just like that, like that I'm sitting here in my home next to my giant bear.
You're not?
Which, you know, now that we have news articles every day about people finding tigers in their home, it's becoming less bizarre.
Well, you do have a dedication to your boyfriend right at the start of the book there.
It's true. No, I did. The story did come about from I was dating a man who would just find all my good snacks and really burrow through my house. And he would do things like hang his jacket on a tree branch, stuff that I was not familiar with before. And I thought, you know, I might be dating a bear. When he went on a lot of business trips, and it would just be so quiet after he was gone that we often said it sounded like the zoo went to sleep. So I was really having to learn how to live with a kind of messy, unpredictable creature who would come in and out of my house. But he had this business job I didn't quite understand. Like, he did wear a suit and people found him, you know, quite charming.
Yes, you of course, you had Kat draw the bear in suits, which was actually a wonderful sort of very sophisticated artist trip. I'm thinking of Wallace Tripp. Are you a fan of Wallace Tripp, Kat?
I'm actually not even familiar with Wallace
okay.
Tripp. I'm very embarrassed.
drawing animals who wear clothes and yet still retain the anatomy of animals. I love that. But, you know, I want to mention that, well, some of our listeners may not be necessarily aware that a bear can be slang for a gay man who has certain earth sign qualities, you know, maybe not insubstantial heft, maybe a lustrous coat of fur.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And one of my very lovely radio colleagues informed me the other day that there's a Facebook group called Accidental LGBTQ Representation Spotting.
Hmm.
And my boyfriend is a bear got quite a bit of notice from this group. Some of the comments include, "Sounds like an elaborate excuse to be a furry, but okay. I feel personally attacked, and I'm telling PETA."
Hmm.
So have you gotten some misunderstandings about the title, My Boyfriend is a Bear?
Well, there are all kinds of people, I believe, who identify with the concept of being around a bear. So that has been fun. Like, it is more than one group that says, "I totally know what that's like." You know, I totally know that feeling. So that has been fun. I find a lot of the, you know, "I feel personally attacked," those kinds of feelings where people are like, "I thought this was my secret." I mean, that's the idea of, like, I thought I was the only one. I didn't realize other people also had this romance. My Boyfriend is a Bear really comes from that feeling of, oh, what is this thing that I'm in? And this couldn't possibly have happened to anybody else in the world, could it?
Well, let's tell the story that you have in the book laid out. Your character, your protagonist is named Nora, and she has really bad decision-making skills when it comes to dating men for a very long time. Let's give a little background here.
Perhaps the men she attracts have made poor life decisions. Let's not put it all on her.
That sounds accurate.
She's had some bad luck. she attracts a lot of I don't know if this word is appropriate for your show, but she attracts a lot of bottom feeders. How about that?
That sounds good. And so she's out in the woods one day with a soon-to-be ex-boyfriend, and that's when she encounters the bear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bear. He's a real bear. He's a 500-pound American black bear.
And there's all manner of allegory in this book, including when Nora decides to make her relationship with Bear public. You know, I mean, she's wondering, what will her friends think, for example? You know, I mean, this is an issue that goes back with, you know, all sorts of relationships over so many decades.
Mm-hmm. A tale as old as time.
Right. Yeah. Well, speaking of which, I did want to touch on, you know, the whole idea of fairy tales. You know, the Oregon author Todd Davies says we live in an era where we need fairy tales more than ever. And, you know, of course, we have Beauty and the Beast, that's originally written back in the 18th century. It's French novelist Gabrielle Suzanne Barbeau de Villeneuve. But it's bigger than ever now. It's on the stage. It's on the screen. There's the Jean Cocteau version, all like that. What just enchants us about enchanted beasts and relationships? I mean, where's the metaphor in that? And what did you tap into with that?
Oh, I was waiting to see if Kat was gonna take some of that.
I don't know. I can if you want.
I think there's something to this big, please jump in, but I think there's something to this big, quiet, giant love, right? The connection that you can have before words are even spoken, and what happens when you fall in love with a heart and a soul. I think movies and stories like Beauty and the Beast tap into that feeling of being swept up in something big and otherworldly.
Yeah, and Kat, you've worked a little bit in animation yourself, and I want to give a little background. Pam has done a great deal of work, script writing for animated classics such as Moana and for Ralph Breaks the Internet. And you know, obviously, you're both fans of Beauty and the Beast. Mm-hmm. So you came into this project. You were actually brought together by Oni Press.
Yeah, that's right. I got an email in my inbox from Charlie Chu, who was the editor on the project at the time. And Charlie was like, Kat, I've got a script for you. Check it out. Let me know what you think. And I looked at it and I was like, my boyfriend is a bear. Okay, that sounds cute. I will go ahead and read that. And I think I famously got like 20 pages into the script before I immediately emailed Charlie back and was like, Charlie, I have to draw this book. Please tell me like there's no one else trying out for this book because it has to be me. I will definitely attack whoever draws this book if it's not me. And so I ended up doing some test pages and they liked my art and Pam liked my art and hey, you get to draw this book. And I was so excited. I didn't even like finish reading the script until after I had already got the job because I was so confident that it was going to be amazing all the way through.
All I'm so it took glad was, you liked the ending.
It was good. I was like, I had a moment of panic where I was like, what if like this book doesn't stick the landing and then I'm going to be sad. But now I read it and I was like, oh God, it's the most amazing book all the way through. I'm so happy.
And you definitely like to draw animals. There's a very popular series of mini comics that you self-published called Flaccid Badger.
Oh, yeah, Flaccid Badger, the world's floppiest, hungriest badger who likes apples and is also secretly a ninja assassin.
So you know, animals are fun to mix with human characters and, you know, and beasts and all that. So, I mean, are you a fan of sort of the whole mythical, you know, I mean, The myths of humans and animals just goes back to ancient Greece. Zeus was constantly assuming animal forms whenever he felt a little bit amorous. You know, he, of course, shape-shifted into a swan when he took up with Leda. He became a cuckoo with Hera and a bull when he carried off Europa. So, I mean, you know, is that something that you tapped into? Is that just like part of our whole DNA that we're really fascinated with our animal side?
I guess it might be. I mean, probably my favorite Disney animated film of all time is Robin Hood.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I've got to say, from a young age, like, just the thought of, like, Fox Robin Hood just, like, sparks romance for me. So it's really not hard to imagine Now, this is like the second time I've admitted this live on the air to someone or the general public at large. So nobody judge me. He's really attractive. Anyway, it wasn't a hard leap to imagine like someone falling in love with a bear from that, I guess. So like drawing Nora and Bear together seemed really natural.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say the Disney animators probably looked at Errol Flynn footage when designing the fox
character. Must have.
Yeah, and Pam, of course, you've worked in animation.
My first imaginary boyfriend was Grover, so I don't know. Yes. Maybe that, there's something in that, right? Like, just furry and sweet and friendly and fun. And I think that bears really are just like giant dogs. Like, there's something about a bear that we enjoy their sense of humor. It's because maybe they look like they think they have dignity, which is very different than like a lion or a tiger. Like, there's a lot of dignity there. Like, you don't mess with that. But with a bear, you're sort of like, we can tell that you are confused.
Yes. I saw many good reference photos for black bears looking very silly and very confused while I was trying to figure out how I wanted to draw a bear. It was adorable.
Yeah.
Well, Pam, we mentioned you've been a co-writer on some of the and a couple of the most successful animated films of recent years. I'm talking about Moana and Ralph Breaks the Internet. And also, appropriately, you worked on the narration for the Disney documentary Bears.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one of the really successful one of the traits of a successful animator is that you can really nail a wordless scene. And so you wrote a lot of scenes without dialogue, or at least without Bear making words, a Bear character making words. And so you you asked Kat to take this on and make this convincing, make this a convincing relationship with a character who really doesn't verbalize.
Yeah, it was important to not have Bear chat. I mean, because he's a bear, and even if she, I think any version where she would hear him talking, then we would it would make it seem like maybe she's delusional or she's made this bear up. Kat was so great at being able to. There is one page that's explaining all the different ways that Bear says or means grah, or what he's thinking, or you know. And she was so great at translating these subtle little changes and expression that you know we all register as like, oh yeah, he's. That's the look of I don't like couscous. You know what I mean?
That was really a fun challenge for me to try and like get the bear to have clear communicative emotions without actually having him talk. It was a challenge for the old animation thing where people tell you a good character acting comes from like good clear silhouettes and you don't always have to rely on their face. Like you use their body and it was basically like I could hear my old animation professor, Larry Loria, standing behind me being like, all right, come on, how does this read? You need to make sure that like it's clear in the whole body how it's acting.
Well, you know, there's a famous Art Spiegelman quote that graphic novels are not storyboards for animated films. But at the same time, this does look like an animated film in the making almost, you know, with all the great poses and, you know, the dialogue. Has this been a thought that's been running through anybody's mind?
Oh, man, I would love to see this as an animated film. Like, that would be amazing to me. I know that there's not a big market for animated films for adults necessarily, but I think that if any story could pull in an audience, it would be this one.
However, I am sitting in front of a script for the live action film that we're so we're currently trying to turn this into a live action film.
Oh, really?
Legendary.
Oh,
yeah.
So I'm still living deep in this in the story of Nora and the Bear.
Now, there are some, I'm going to say, R, if not NC-17 scenes in the book. So how do you plan to finesse that?
First of all, you don't see NC-17 things.
Oh, okay.
That's true.
Right? Like, it is all about, their romance is private in parts. And
there you go.
And it's, you know, some of this is none of our business.
Uh-huh.
So it is talking about, you know, in order to make sure it feels like all of our relationships, it has to be, some of it is off limits to us. Does that make sense? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that might actually be what makes Nora and Bear so relatable in some way, is that the camera does pan away and leave the rest to our imagination for like a few parts of it. So it could be literally like you, me, anyone else.
So
yeah, that's part of the romance too. The mystery and the wonder keeps it romantic because we just know it works for them. We don't need to know how. And they have their relationship is based on intimacy and trust more than a sort of carnal desire for each other.
Well, you're listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Conser, and we're talking today about the graphic novel My Boyfriend is a Bear with writer Pamela Ribbon and artist Kat Ferris. So these days when everybody's connected, artists and writers can work together, anywhere. Is it good to get face-to-face to sort of work in a project together? Have you two had a chance to sit down together, or are you mostly just working from Kat from Portland and Pam from L.A.?
Well, I think mostly that's how it was, like through email and everything. But I remember shortly after I found out I was going to be drawing the book, my brother lives in Long Beach, and I decided to go down and visit him and convince him to drive me out to Los Angeles for a couple of days to go shoot reference for things because I haven't spent a lot of time in L.A. and I wanted to make it feel as much like it was set in L.A. as realistically possible. And while I was there, I told Charlie I was there, and he was like, "Oh, I gotta hook you up with Pam. You guys should go out and have coffee. Like, you should meet each other." So we did end up like meeting for a little bit at a really adorable cafe. I don't know where that is, but if I'm ever back in LA, I gotta ask you, like, because it was really cute, and we did have a chance to talk a little bit there.
So is it a relationship you want to continue? Do you want to work on some more projects together?
I would love to work with Pam again. I think our sense of humor is like mesh really well, and we're able to kind of get across to each other what we had intended without too much effort.
Yeah, that'd be great. I find Kat has such emotion and surprise in her work. It's just the joy leaps off the page, and that's really special.
It's funny, Pam, you've worked with obviously so many just incredibly experienced and successful artists, working with folks at Disney, with various studios down in L.A. And so it's really kind of a compliment that you looked to Portland for Kat to do your book for you.
Well, that's Oni Press. They have good taste, and so they. I think Charlie was like, "I know exactly who you're gonna, call." I think Charlie knew he was making a perfect arrangement there.
Yeah, I definitely owe Charlie for this one. Otherwise, I don't think this ever would have happened. But it's been probably one of the best parts of my career to date. So I'm very happy. Thanks, Charlie.
One of the things that Portland has going for it is a bunch of artist collectives, and Kat, you're a member of the Helioscope Artist Collective here in Portland. It has some pretty amazing people in it.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I still don't understand why they let me in the door sometimes. They're great over there. We've got Lucy Bellwood and Dylan McConis, Erica Moen, Steve Lieber, Jeff Parker, my husband Ron Chan, Colin Coover, Paul Tobin, Terry Nelson, who's an incredibly accomplished scientific illustrator. The list of talent goes out the door and down the stairs. It's crazy.
Well, one of the benefits of being a Helioscope member is that you can ask other artists in the room to do difficult poses for you, help you with your art reference. So did you find someone at the studio who was appropriate at doing bear poses for you?
Well, I'm sure Steve Lieber would have knocked it out of the park, but I didn't actually get any of my studio mates to pose for any of these, which I feel now was a missed opportunity because the photo evidence alone would have been amazing. But I didn't actually have my studio mates pose for this, which is too bad now that I think about it in retrospect. It was a wasted opportunity.
At least tell them you were having them pose for the bear and then and make a photo.
That is awesome. Yeah, I should have done that. I should still do that. I'm like, hey guys, there's going to be a sequel maybe, so I need to shoot some photo reference.
So I want to ask, Pam, I want to ask you about, we mentioned Moana earlier, which is a very successful Disney feature film, and it got a fair amount of credit for expanding representation in the Disney princess universe, doing it in a way that avoided trivializing Polynesian culture. Tell us about all the people, that you were one of the writers on that script.
Mm-hmm. yeah, these projects take years and years and years. So I think Moana was maybe 6 years total, 6 or 7 years, maybe 12 if you put in all the research. But yes, so.
So tell us about the research that goes into that with the writer's room, so to speak.
Well, the writer's room at Disney Animation is really a story room. It's all the storyboard artists and the writers and directors and producer. Much like it runs a lot like a television room where you are beating out the story and the structure and the characters. We put up the movie in an animatic version a number of times, eight times or so over the course of three to four years sometimes, and get notes from the studio. In terms of Moana, we also went to Polynesia a couple of times. I just went one time, but the directors went more than once on trips to, you know, be in the water and see the land and meet people and talk to people from that culture and hear their stories. So yeah, we got to go to see some of the most beautiful places in the world.
Not a bad benefit.
And
of course, Lin-Manuel Miranda worked on the songs for Moana. Did you get a chance to kick around some ideas with him?
yes, he's very talented, very nice man. Yes.
Sorry, I just had an envy attack.
He was working on Hamilton at the time, so it was pre all of this. You know, I was a geek around him in a different way because I really loved Bring It On, but also like I had a little baby at the time, so he wrote songs for Sesame Street. So like Murray had a little lamb. That's Lin, and so I'm just geeking out around him in a very different way. Aww. Where I'm like, Murray had a little lamb, and he's like, okay, I'm working on this. He called Hamilton. And, you know, we were all like, okay, yes, that sounds great. But and then all of a sudden, here we are.
No, you had no idea what a phenomenon it was going to be.
I mean, I had a sense. it's very good. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not like you're like, good luck with that kid. You know, the president likes it. Like, it was going to be fine. But it was amazing to watch that all happen at the same time for him.
So that shows how long a process that animated films really are. You know, when you're a writer, you know, it could be your kid could be in school you could have a baby and the kid could be in school by the time the film comes out.
Very true. She was 4 months old when I started on Moana, and she was 4 years old when the movie came out.
Boy, wow, that really puts it into perspective. Holy cow.
Yeah.
And a different, very different movie. Ralph Breaks the Internet has been getting a lot of buzz lately. And again, you're working with some really talented people on that script.
Yes, that movie came out on DVD and Blu-ray yesterday, or Ooh. 2 weeks ago or something. Oh, yes, you can rent it tonight. Yeah, that is an incredibly talented cast and crew. I did not work on the first Wreck-It Ralph. I came on Moana right when Frozen was almost over. But, yeah, they really make these characters shine. They're such a part of the process, the writing process, too. And John and Sarah like to record in the room at the same time. Sarah Silverman and John C. Reilly like to be in the room together when they work. So you can really feel that connection between Ralph and Penelope.
So I want to ask, you're both in committed relationships, and My Boyfriend is a Bear is all about... you know, adjusting to quirky characters that you're dating. And, you know, working on this project, has that affected your relationship, either of you, in good ways and interesting ways? I mean, how do you, you know, how did you come out at the end of the project, like feeling about your own romantic relationships?
Uh-huh. Well, the book, at least for my dedication, is dedicated to my husband, Ron, because... the support that he gave me while I was working on this book was just incredible. Like, this was probably the most major undertaking of my career at that point. And having him help me out, like if I had problems with my drawing software or if I was stressed out or if I like needed outfit reference, like just making sure that I was able to focus on my work and not have to worry about like doing anything else. Like, he really stepped up to the plate and made me kind of reappreciate why we're together. I definitely couldn't have pulled off my part of Bear without his incredibly generous support.
My poor husband, people call him Bear now.
Oh.
Like a lot of people call him Bear. I should have thought of that. before I made this so public. But he knows it's a term of endearment, but he really can't do much of messy things without someone being like, oh, bear. like even my kid calls him bear.
Oh.
But working on this has definitely made some of those relationship moments feel more romantic when it is like something breaks or there's a mess or someone ate all your cookies, like as opposed to getting really angry. You just think like, well, this is his love language too. Like this is how this house works because I married a bear. And, I don't know, somehow that makes it all kind of, more like a fairy tale.
Well, the book is My Boyfriend is a Bear. It's out right now from Portland's own Oni Press. The writer is Pamela Ribbon and the artist is Kat Ferris. Pam and Kat, before I let you go, I want to find out more about your other books and films and personal projects. Kat, tell us about your webcomic, The Last Diplomat.
Oh, okay. I mean, it's kind of been on hiatus for a while, but it is still available online up to the point where it's gone on hiatus. It's about a girl named Sama and her monster Tark. And it's kind of like Lord of the Rings meets Digimon. It's a little bit epic adventure, a little bit like silly monster action. It's funny. It's sad. It's funny again. Yeah, it's also kind of on hold at the moment till I figure out what's going on with it. It was one of those things that I started back before I was getting any comics work at all. And I wanted something to force me to put out pages and prove to editors that I was going to be employable and able to make deadlines. So the busier I got with professional work, the more it's kind of gotten pushed to the side. It makes me a little sad. But I'm hoping to kind of rein things back in and find some more time for it pretty soon here.
Well, you've also drawn for some Dark Horse titles, including Plants vs. Zombies and Emily the Strange.
Yes.
Oh, and then there's your children's book coming up with HarperCollins. It's called The Ghoul Next Door.
Oh, yeah. I'm really excited about that one. I'm working with probably one of the like my most appreciated writers in comics next to Pam, Cullen Bunn, who is just known for all of his horror work. So we're going to put together a middle grade book series, and it's going to be awesome, and I'm going to do the whole thing in watercolor, which I'm both excited and nervous about, so looking forward to that coming out. I think like 2021 is when the first book is going to come out, so still a while to wait. I've got to draw and paint all those pages.
Well, Pam, is there anything you can reveal at all about your upcoming screenplays, your projects?
Well, I am working hard at Bear, so I'm hoping My Boyfriend is a Bear makes it to the big screen pretty soon. And that is the only one I can talk about, but I have another comic book called Slam that came out through Boombox in the past couple of years, and it is set in the world of roller derby, kind of a slice of life friendship story. So if you like your romance to be of the ladies loving ladies kind, there's some for you there in Slam about two girls who get drafted to rival roller derby teams in the same league and have to figure out whether or not their friendship can survive competition.
And if people want to find out more about you, it's Ribbon with one B.
My last name? Yes. Yeah.
And how do you have a website that people can look for you on?
I don't really write. I used to write on a website called Pammy.com. It's still there, but I mostly am found on Twitter when I write something.
And Kat, you're at Katifer.com, is that right?
That's me.
All right. Well, thank you so much, both of you, Pam and Kat, for joining us today on Words and Pictures.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, you have been listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Conser. I want to say many thanks to all our listeners on the radio dial and at KBOO.FM. You can find an archived version of the show later today at kboo.fm/wordsandpictures. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at wordsandpicture.
We go wah, 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 waltzing with bears. Raggy bears, shaggy bears, baggy bears too. And there's nothing on earth Uncle Walter won't do. So he can go waltzing with bears.